Before Maureen and I share from the Word this morning, I invite you to bow with me for a word of prayer, please. God of this Advent season, we thank you for stepping into human history with the gift of your Son, Jesus. He is truly Christ the Lord, as we just sang. So we worship you this morning as sovereign ruler of all you have made. Your name is great and most worthy of praise. We are 1 week away from Christmas. It's a time known for celebration and for joy, of hope and love. And yet as we look around our world, we know that there are many places and people who are not celebrating. In fact, for many, there doesn't appear to be much hope. And so we pray for your peace in those places and in those lives who are being disrupted by the war and the fighting. We pray for strength for those who have lost loved ones and are grieving. And would hearts be turned to you, and would you turn that which is evil into that which ultimately brings glory to your name? And for those here in this church who need a special touch or a word of encouragement today, would you minister to them through your Holy Spirit? And may we be sensitive to what those needs are and be willing to come alongside as we are able. We pray for our many missionaries who are serving around the world, and some who will not be able to gather with their extended families because of distance. Would you presence yourself with them and fill them with your love and your grace? And for our fellow churches here in this Abbotsford area, we pray a blessing on them. Use them in a special way this Christmas to be a light in this community. Protect pastors and leaders. May they seek you and not desire what they want themselves, but what's best for the community, for their churches. And most of all, would they stay true to your word and to the gospel message. Lord, we lift up our Alpha course, which is just literally a month away. And we thank you for that opportunity that you are giving to us, for the work that has gone in already, for people who have taken invitations and who are praying. And Lord, may we be faithful as we reach out to those around us and be bold in inviting. And we leave that results to you, trusting that some great things will come of this. Pray for Pastor Norm as he steps back into the office this week, that he would be refreshed and renewed. And thank you for this time that you've given him and Melissa, and bless them during this Christmas season as well. Now we invite you, Holy Spirit, as we open your word, speak to us, direct our thoughts and our hearts, and we invite you, Holy Spirit, to be the one at the center of all that is said and done, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we did a little experiment this morning. We wondered how far away from the stage we could move this table. And the further we moved it, the further back the chairs got. So we both showered this morning, so I'm not sure if that was the issue, but we finally said this is enough here. But this morning we want to invite you, in a sense, into our living room for some interactive conversation.
A conversation about hope being fulfilled.
So have you ever hoped for something to happen and then waited expectantly?
How did you feel when your hope was finally fulfilled, if it was?
Well, years ago, when our two children were just 7 and 9 years old, we promised to take them to Disneyland if they'd help raise money towards the trip. You talk about growing excitement.
We collected bottles, actually, for 2 years and faithfully deposited the money into the bank account. We anticipated, expected, and waited for that day to arrive.
Finally, it was time to pack our suitcases, load the van, and off we went. And do you think we had a great time? Oh, yeah.
We want you to turn to somebody beside you for a moment and briefly share what you hope will be fulfilled this coming year or what was fulfilled for you this past year. So just turn quickly to a neighbor and say, what do you hope for?
All right. I warned you that this would be interactive, so hang in there. You're doing great. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, we probably need to define what we mean by the word fulfilled or fulfillment. Webster's Dictionary tells us it is the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. And then as I kept reading, it says, in order for something to be fulfilled, a requirement or a condition must be met. Mm-hmm.
So this got us thinking, what is necessary in order for something to be fulfilled? So what did we do?
Yeah, what did we do? What do you do? We turned to Google, of course. We typed in what is needed for something to be fulfilled, and a long list popped up. 3 things you can do today to feel more fulfilled.
5 ways to feel more fulfilled in life.
7 steps for living a more fulfilling life. And on and on. It went right up to 16, 18, 20 different things. And, well, you get the idea.
Okay. That really wasn't what we were going for. So we did ask ourselves, what did it take for us to get to Disneyland? Well, first we needed a goal, Disneyland. Then we needed to prepare ourselves and get ready, which we did by collecting bottles and saving birthday money and things like that.
And then after a period of time, we recognized we had what we needed to accomplish our goal, which was enough money saved to go, and then a time that was suitable. Then came the fun part, the satisfaction of the dream coming true, which was enjoying our trip, hanging out with Mickey Mouse, of course, followed by a time of rejoicing and celebration of that achievement, which we did by showing our friends pictures and sharing about our adventures. Mm-hmm.
Advent is all about fulfillment. It's all about waiting and longings and dreams and hopes coming to fruition. This is exactly what we find in our passage of scripture today.
So it's not about a trip to Disneyland.
No.
It's about the coming of the promised Messiah, Jesus, fulfilling all that had been prophesied about his coming. So if you remember 2 weeks ago, if you were here, we looked at John the Baptist. He was the one that broke that 400-year-long period of silence since God had last spoken when he cried out with these words.
Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is here.
Yes, Maureen, thank you. That was John's role, to point people to Jesus, and I'm glad you were paying attention that morning. But that's not quite what we're looking for here. This morning, we're going to be looking specifically at 2 more characters who don't often get mentioned, but who play a huge role in this Christmas narrative. And they are Simeon and Anna. So let's set the stage for where they fit in this story. Beginning of Luke chapter 2, as you read, and we're not going to read all of this, but Luke tells us that 8 days after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had him circumcised, as was the Jewish custom. And then, on day 40, they brought him to the temple to be presented to God and offer a sacrifice, which was required of every firstborn male. And now we're going to pick up the main story as Maureen reads from Luke chapter 2. And you'll get to, I want to ask you to pay close attention, because there will be a test coming shortly after.
Luke 2. Verses 25 to 38. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout, and eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah.
That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, a prophet, was also there at the temple. She was the daughter of Phanuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow at the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. So we chose this passage because it fits so well with our Advent theme of great expectations. Here we have two people, representative of a Jewish nation, who had been waiting for the promised Messiah.
Here we have a clear example of God's perfect timing. On the same day, at exactly the same time, these two people give witness to this promise being fulfilled before their very eyes.
All right, now comes the test I warned you about. We're going to play cahoots. Those of you that were here last night will catch the joke. We had a great Christmas evening, and Nick led us in a game of cahoots. Brian, you cannot play this next round. I'm still bitter that he beat me last night. And by the way, thanks too to the committee and people that set that all up last night. It was a great time and far too many sweet desserts. All right, so what do we know about Simeon and Anna from reading our text? This is the part now where you get to do some audience participation, and feel free to call out some answers. Let's start with Simeon, and that first part that Maureen read will be up on the slide. What do we know about Simeon? Go ahead, call out some responses.
He's old.
He's old. That's a trick one, because it doesn't actually say that, but yes, probably he was. Go ahead.
He's waiting.
He's patient, he's devout. Devout meaning that he was probably considered, the word devout means to, he didn't just obey the law, he actually lived the law. He was devout. What else?
Took Jesus in his arms.
Yeah, he took Jesus in his arms. We're going to talk about that in a moment.
He listened to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit prompted him to go.
Yeah, thank you. He listened to the Holy Spirit, and prompted by the Holy Spirit, did what he was asked to do. We'll see that a little bit later as well.
He believed.
And that's why he was there that morning, or what time of day it was. What did he receive from God?
Promise.
He himself got a promise, right? He would not die until he had seen the Messiah with his own eyes. Good. Well, you passed the first part of this test. Let's move on to Anna, the second part of the story. What do we know about Anna from the short four verses or so that are there? Nailed it. Bonus points. Where's the prize person? We can get a double prize there. Yes. This one we know, the text says. And not just she was old, she was very old. Yeah. What else? She was a widow. Yeah. Yeah. We don't think she had children. We're not told. Yeah. Yeah, and she went to the temple daily, or she was even potentially, how you read that text, it could be she actually lived at the temple. Some thought she had a room, you know, on the, sort of on the side. But certainly she was there regularly. She was committed. What else?
She
She was a prophetess, yeah, which meant she had received a message from the Lord. It also meant that she was highly respected among the Jews there that would come to the temple. She listened. That's right. What did she do in the temple? She fasted and prayed, yeah, as a demonstration of her dedication, of her worship. Yeah. And like Simeon, she too was waiting. We'll talk about that again in a moment. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well done.
Yes. These were two very spiritually minded people who were diligent and obeying and serving God and who held on to the hope that the prophecies of the Messiah would be fulfilled. In other words, they had hope even as they longed for this to happen, even when the world around them was often in great turmoil. We can kind of relate to that. In what or who do you place your hope?
Yeah, need to ponder some of these questions. But before we get too much further along, there is a key word in this passage that needs some attention. And Luke is very deliberate to put it into this story, not once, but twice. And it's in verses 25 and 38. You may have caught it. And this word gives focus to this whole concept of hoping for the promise of the Messiah to be fulfilled.
Oh, I'm sensing a Greek lesson coming on.
Well, now that you mentioned it, yes, the Greek word is prosdekomahi. And I think it was up on the screen there. And say that five times real fast, and you'll get another prize. Unfortunately, most of our English translations miss the significance of this word and simply translate it as waiting or looking forward to. That's not bad, but I think the NLT, which is why I had Maureen read from that a few minutes ago, gets it a little bit more accurate.
Let me read the verses again, and you can follow me on the screen or in your own Bible. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. She, that is Anna, talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem.
So there it is. The word prosdekumahi can literally be translated as expectant waiting. And the idea is best captured if you think of a person who is ready and willing to receive all that they've been hoping for.
Kind of like our trip to Disneyland. Mm-hmm. Or an expectant mother, right, Janelle? Oh, she's probably out with the kids. Or maybe waiting for your dog to arrive, Nick?
Yeah. This word always refers to an active looking and waiting for something to happen or to be fulfilled.
Doesn't that sound like Simeon and Anna?
Mm-hmm.
Both were waiting expectantly. Both were prepared and ready to receive the Messiah. Do you think they were surprised?
Maybe.
Well, maybe if the word implies expectation, but I don't think they were as surprised as maybe they were just completely excited and joyful.
Yeah. And Luke is very deliberate in his description of what they were waiting for. Some of you caught that in the little quiz a minute ago. Both are waiting and hoping for God to do something for Israel. Simeon was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel, and as the NLT says, for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel, while Anna was sharing the good news with all who were waiting expectantly for the redemption of Jerusalem. And I think it would be fair to assume that Anna herself was waiting expectantly. And this phrase, waiting expectantly for the redemption of Jerusalem, simply is a reference to a time when they would be free from Roman oppression and regain their freedom as a people.
Mm-hmm. Luke's primary goal here is to show how these two seemingly insignificant characters in the Christmas narrative, they really get it right. They represent the Jewish people who have been longing for their God to break into history and again console and redeem his people by sending the promised Messiah.
Mm-hmm. And this is exactly what was prophesied by the prophet Isaiah hundreds of years earlier, Listen to this verse.
Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem.
So we see this dual theme of consolation and redemption, or of comfort and salvation, is now being fulfilled before their very eyes. The wait is over. Their hope is being fulfilled.
Let's just pause for a minute and picture this. God allowed Simeon to hold the Messiah in his arms. He was like he was looking into the very face of God. Think about it in your mind. What would that have felt like?
Quite a picture, isn't it? Well, as we were thinking this through, you know, it's all good because God is faithful. But what happens when, from our human perspective, our hopes and expectations are dashed and not fulfilled? For example, Simeon, we assume it from the text, was an old man. And there would have been days when, as a younger man, he must have been discouraged in waiting. And Anna herself was a widow, and no doubt had experienced her own share of difficulties that came with being single and alone. Life was dark and hard. I think many of us can identify with this state, and some of you may be in it right now. Our hearts are heavy. Life with Christ isn't going the way we expected it to. We want things in our timing, in our way, but they don't always happen that way. And then it's easy to become discouraged. Maureen, you've been experiencing this lately, haven't you?
Yes. These past 18 months of my cancer journey, and now that with the death of my father, have been excruciatingly difficult in many ways. I had never experienced emotions like I did. I had never felt the darkness of sadness that was wrapped around me for a time. And I'm still struggling to hold on to the hope. Now in these coming months, grief is a funny thing and we don't really talk about it a lot. It comes in waves and sometimes it hits you when you least expect it. Grief evokes intense feelings that sometimes we have to walk through, and it would be easy to walk away from God, to doubt his love and compassion for me. If I allow myself to wallow in my self-focus and hold only on to these big emotions, I may be ruined. Each day can be a struggle. But I'm choosing a different path, and as we dug into the life of Anna and Simeon, they too knew a better way, a way of staying anchored to the almighty, all-powerful God.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. So what does that anchoring look like for you?
The Word of God is really important in anchoring. It's never empty. We can always go to the Word of God. One of the verses I'm purposely holding on to is Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6, that says, "Yes, yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation." In the daily battle, I also choose to worship and to pray. Sometimes my prayers are as simple and as desperate as, "Help me, Jesus." And I also choose to do things like being with this church, being with friends and family, listening to music. Music really moves my soul. Getting outdoors in creation. And all of those things together help keep me anchored.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for sharing from your heart, being vulnerable with us. Life can be hard, But it's where we choose to look that can make a difference. I appreciate you pointing us back to the Word of God. I want to invite you to share for a couple moments with a neighbor, and here's the question. How do you fix your eyes on God's promises to keep hope alive as Simeon and Anna did? And you can do that by sharing a verse, maybe it's a habit you have, or a practice that anchors you in times of trouble. So turn to someone near you and share what that is. And if you can't think of anything, just listen and glean from those around you. So take a moment just to share a couple things with each other. Go ahead.
We hope that was helpful for you, or at least got you thinking. We'll come back together now. So, what can we learn from Simeon and Anna? And because some of you know us, we're teachers at heart, we want to use four words, each starting with letter R, to help us remember what we can learn. Mm-hmm.
There won't be a test after this. Relax. First, we need to be ready. Simeon and Anna were among those Jews who were anticipating the coming Messiah. They were ready and waiting with great expectation. What was it that made them ready? Well, our passage is pretty clear when it tells us they were both spiritually in touch with God. And as one of you identified, three times in this passage, it makes reference to Simeon being in tune with the Holy Spirit. And Anna herself was dedicated to serving in the temple daily. They were ready. Mm-hmm.
And like them, we need to be spiritually alert and waiting for what God has for us too. So what are we waiting for in this season of Advent? Are we readying our hearts to receive from the Lord? Are we praying for God to bring His will to fulfillment?
Second, we need to recognize and receive. What do we mean by that? Simeon and Anna also recognized and then received the Messiah. So it's one thing to be ready and waiting. It's another to act on that waiting. And here's a sad fact. If you go to Jerusalem at Christmas, you likely won't see any decorations or hear Christmas music being played. Even Christmas Day, most Jews go about their daily routine as they would any other day. It's estimated that only 0.6% of the population is evangelical.
Wow, what happened?
Well, even though Jesus was born and lived his life as a Jew, we know from history, most Jews rejected him as Messiah and are still looking and longing for his appearance. Now, we can criticize them because we stand on this side of history looking back, and we can see how that all has been fulfilled. But take a moment and think, if we're honest, we may need to admit that there are still ways in which we can be rejecting Jesus' place of authority in our lives. So we too need to recognize Jesus and receive him.
Mm-hmm. And third, we need to rejoice. Simeon and Anna both had the same response when they saw Jesus. They rejoiced, and we too celebrate and rejoice.
Just as our family did many years ago with our trip to Disneyland.
I guess, yes. Both Simeon and Anna praised God and gave thanks for his provision of the Messiah. And that should be our response if we've received God's salvation. Can you rejoice in what God has done for you this morning? Even if things aren't going the way maybe you'd prefer? I'm really glad that we can rejoice together as a church and in this place, but we can also choose this attitude of rejoicing through the week as well. So let's rejoice.
Amen. Fourth, we need to reveal. Simeon and Anna also spoke out and proclaimed God's salvation. They gave testimony to God's promise of a Messiah being fulfilled. We could say that they revealed God's message to those who were listening. Now, how many people responded? We're not told. But the example they give is to be bold in proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus.
And really, this is why we're planning on running the Alpha course in January. Alpha's one way that we can be bold in our witness to reveal Jesus to those who don't know him yet and have questions about who is this God? If we truly believed God's promises of a Messiah have been fulfilled in the person of Jesus, well, this should cause us to want to share his good news with our friends and neighbors and family.
Mm-hmm. So as we bring this to a close, we would be doing an injustice if we didn't remind ourselves that like the Jews waited in anticipation of the Messiah's first coming, so we too as Christians wait for the second coming of Jesus. And even though the story of Simeon and Anna ends here, it is really only the beginning for us as Christ followers. We know how the story ends, with the promise of Jesus returning to make all things new and the hope of eternity with him. And here's just two scriptures that teach this truth.
So, also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly awaiting for him. And Paul said something very similar in 2 Timothy 4:8. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who are eagerly looking forward to his appearing.
Yeah, great verses. Jesus' first coming was fulfilled, but we live now in the in-between time as we wait for his second coming. Will Jesus find us faithful, like Simeon and Anna, who are ready, receptive, rejoicing, and revealing? The message of this Advent season and Christmas can be summarized in the verses that the children read earlier from Galatians chapter 4.
But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children.
So it really is all about fulfillment. At just the right time, God stepped into human history in the person of Jesus, the promised Messiah. He offers us freedom in the form of spiritual fulfillment. So the logical question is, are we experiencing this which comes through Jesus? I love how John chapter 10, verse 10 sums this up nicely, where Jesus says, and most of you know this verse, I have come that you might have life sort of abundant, no, so that you might have life to the full, abundant life.
Or we could paraphrase it in the context of our sermon. I have come in order that your life might be fulfilled in me.
Yeah. Is your life being fulfilled in Jesus? So as we invite Nick's team to come up and lead us in a closing song, let us rejoice as Simeon and Anna did at the fulfilled promise of the Messiah and at the fulfilled hope we are experiencing through Jesus' life in us.
Would you join me in prayer? Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, God with us, be here somehow in our sadness, in our grief, and also in our joys. Lord, the road Anna and Simeon walked would have been difficult at times. Darkness may have choked them, and some of us sit in that place today. Come, Lord Jesus, with your light and your hope, we call out to you, Jesus, with longing hearts. Help us consciously choose thankfulness, to choose worship, and thus allow you to transform our hearts with it. Father God, today we choose to live in a space of hope as Anna and Simeon did. Thank you that you desire, that your desire is that we may overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we can anchor ourselves in you, firm and secure, by being ready, receptive, by rejoicing and revealing you to others. Help us be more purposeful in how we live. You are truly good and totally trustworthy. Into your hands we commit our lives.